Episode 113's all about northern smallmouth bass fishing with Hayden Anderson from northern Wisconsin up near Superior. We do have some technical difficulties in and out in the beginning. I won't be pissed if you just kind of fast forward a little bit. It does settle down. It does get better. So feel free to skip till you can hang it, and then we get into some good smallmouth talk. So enjoy this podcast, and if you guys listen anywhere where you can thumbs up, like, or rate this, that would be awesome. Otherwise, you know what? Hey, just enjoy the episode. Thanks. This week, the Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast is brought to you by Arsenal Fishing. Arsenal Fishing offers premium custom-made performance apparel and tackle. Arsenal delivers a wide variety of custom-designed baits, accessories, and tools, along with unique utilitarian apparel for all outdoor enthusiasts. As part of their support, you can use code HELLEBASS15 to save 15% on all purchases at arsenalfishing.com to support the show. Now let's get back to helping you catch more bass and suck less. All right. Tuesday night special version. We're not on a Wednesday night. We're jumping nights. Hopefully we're not stepping over the serious angler too bad tonight, but we're going to talk smallmouth. We're going to have some fun tonight. And it looks like we got a crowd rolling in here to talk smallmouth tonight. What's going on, Hayden?
A whole lot. Ready to talk about some smallmouth.
Yeah.
Smalley's ready to talk about that.
Yeah, it's always a good time. Smalley's. Darius wouldn't miss a Smalley show. That's for sure.
That kind of guy.
Yeah, he's a big Kentucky Lake smallmouth guy. I don't know if you've ever been.
No, I've never. I've driven past it. I actually drove past it one time when there was ice on some of the creeks.
Nice.
Probably been the perfect time to go catch some smallies out there.
Yeah, it's not exactly bonus Tuesday. This is in replace of the Wednesday. I'm fishing a high school pro-am tomorrow night on a local lake. And we're going to go out and fish with a high school kid in a little tournament on a local lake. And that should be fun. Not a lake that I love, but it'll be fun getting out. So that's why we're moving it tonight. And then kids soccer on Thursday night. So what up, bait man? Lots of familiar faces. How's the sound and audio? Everybody watching, let us know. Yeah, Kentucky Lake Smallies. It sounds like Kentucky Lake's really like making a comeback, Smallie wise. So, like they've filled the niche. Like so, kind of the carp and the pressure and the lack of grass, the kind of everything, kind of dipped. But the Smallies are kind of like finding their way now on Kentucky Lake.
Almost like everything else got cleared out enough where they had a fighting chance for a little while. Started populating a lot more.
Glad you can make it, Robert. Yeah, so we're going to talk smallies, a bunch of few other things, and it should be a good time. So, Hayden, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you're up to, and why you love smallies so darn much.
Yeah, so I'm from Poplar, Wisconsin. I'm sure absolutely nobody knows where that is. It's kind of by, so I don't know. It's all turned around at the camera. I'm not going to be able to explain that well, but it's kind of by Duluth, Minnesota. I'm like a half hour away, so. Everybody
east,
should know
into Wisconsin from Duluth.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. East, right across the bridge. I guess the reason I really got into smallmouth probably is just because, like, a lot of the lakes around me, oddly enough, don't have a lot of them. Like, the ones really close to me. So, it was always, like, that mystery factor. Like, when you would see one or would randomly catch one, it was, like, you want more of what you can't have, I guess. So, I always kind of gravitated towards them, and then just the older I got and the more experience I got with them, I just kind of meshed with those a lot more. Or I guess I was always more entertained by those than largemouth. Still love largemouth, but smallies are king for me.
Sure. Cool. And I think
Texas a lot more.
What's that?
No, sorry. I like the wide array of techniques, I guess.
Definitely. He's not afraid to pick up a spinning rod is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, Rody? Topwater says, close to Superior. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, I actually work in Superior.
There you go. And so, speaking of work, you've also ambitiously now started up a guide service as well. So, where do you all guide up in Wisconsin there?
So, So kind of all over. I fish a lot of the lakes within an hour of Poplar, I guess. So 20 minutes east of Superior is Poplar. And yeah, so anything about an hour away, mainly for like the smallmouth stuff, be like Hayward, Wisconsin. Sure a lot of people probably are familiar with that area. There's tons and tons of lakes right there that have smallmouth in them. Lots of good largemouth too. And other than that, I mean, some of the lakes for largemouth are, you know, around Iron River area, if anyone knows where that is. South Range. Those are all areas that only people that live close to here are probably going to know. But yeah, lots of lakes close by.
Right on. My dogs are going crazy. So we're trying to assemble the kids upstairs to try to quiet them down. So they don't get so much background. So how many, you got a few openings for people that are like, if they want to go fishing up in the northern Wisconsin, do you get a lot of people like that, like come up for their cabin and they want to get out for a day or two, or like what's typical?
Yeah. I mean, I just started it this spring and honestly, I've been so busy with different tournaments and stuff so far in May. And then, I mean, it's just getting to be June now. So, I'd have to look at the calendar to look at what I actually have available, but I kind of just play it by ear. So if someone's got a date in mind and I'm able to make it work, then we make it work. It's at least for the first year or two here, I'm getting married this summer too. So like it's a busy summer. I don't have a ton of availability. So it's just kind of, I wanted to get it rolling. I had a good opportunity to kind of get the ball rolling this winter. So I started it up and taken a few people out so far this spring and caught them pretty good, but
it's a rolling start. It's kind of like a beta test year, kind of like not going hard, just kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to get like super busy because I still like, you know, going fishing with all my buddies. I still don't get to go fishing with all the buddies I want to every year, but I feel like the guiding thing was a good opportunity for me to be able to justify fishing a lot more, you know.
It was just an excuse to get a bigger boat, let's be honest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got a boat payment too here to take care of, but yeah, I mean, especially try to pay for some gas this summer too. It don't seem like it's going down anytime soon, so it's all being put towards something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so John Poxy's heading out to Lake Oahe next week. That should be exciting. You ever been out there?
I have not been anywhere close to there, but it sounds like a blast. Everybody I've heard talk about it sounds like you're fishing on the moon.
It is a little bit like you feel like you're in the Yellowstone a little bit, kind of like you're out there. Like it's definitely western, like desolate, and it's interesting. Like there's not a stitch of grass. It's very, like, it looks very western, like canyon lakes, like what you'd expect to see in like Arizona and stuff like that. It's sure. Much different than anything that we fish around here.
Yeah,
it's got big ones, that's for sure. So it should be a really good event. I think there's some qualifiers coming out there, and I don't know if that's what John is fishing, and then obviously the elites are coming out there in a month or two.
Right, probably a good time to go fish it before it gets blown up by the elites. Try to get to it before all the pressure gets there.
Yeah, that is, but there's not, the thing is, it's kind of like, it's probably a little bit like Amistad back in the day, right? Where like Del Rio wasn't a very big town, and like there's not like, you know, I mean, there are a few resorts and there are a few hotels and a few campgrounds and stuff, but it's not like it has the infrastructure where like you're going to get flooded big time. And it's far enough out there, you're likely not going to make a day trip, you know, especially from Minnesota or Minneapolis or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I fished a TBF out there. And we were out of the other end, and now they're going out of a new end. So
you went out of the end that the elites went out of when they were there previous.
Yeah, yeah.
The end that kind
of down by the dam. Yeah,
sure. And that according to everybody is the end that sucked.
Well, I mean, not it wasn't as good.
Not as good.
And yeah.
Sure. Okay. No, yeah, I'm excited to follow that one. That one's going to be good.
Colorado State qualifier they're going to have out there. What's up, Pete? Cheers, buddy. Looks like you were watching Seth bedfish off his motor today based on your Instagram.
I saw that. That was pretty funny.
I have fished the Ecstasy. It's pretty sweet. Got a video coming out on that pretty soon. Enjoying it so far. Well, here's a question that probably Hayden can tackle. He says, Round Lake near Hayward. Is that, I'm guessing that's where your tournament's coming up that you have?
That's actually exactly where my tournament's
So you've got some.
Up, I'm not going to touch too much on that.
So after they leave the, maybe just in general, when they leave what do you start looking for?
Yeah, so I mean, at least the last couple of years, that time of year on round, they are almost not even on beds. So start looking post-spawn stuff. I mean, if you really looked hard, I'm sure you'd find a few because it's clear lake. So I'm sure there's still going to be some lingering, but I don't think I don't know if he's fishing the tournament or what, but like, I don't think that's going to be like your winning technique or your winning pattern is locating bedding fish because they're so unpredictable that time of year anyways. You know, they could be there, you know, the day before, you know, at 4 o'clock and then not be there when you go to check on it right away in the morning. So
sure. But I mean, like in that lake, when they go off the beds, what are you looking for? Like, is it a rock lake? Is it a grass lake? Like what
kind of? Yeah, it's got both and they fish use a lot of rock, a lot of sand, some grass. I just try to look at areas where they spawned and expand from there, see exactly what stage they are in. And then if I got to go deep or stay shallow, kind of go from there.
So basically if they're go where you're finding the empty beds and then just think, where are they going to stop on their way out?
Yeah, exactly. Adjacent to that.
And probably cover water, you know, jerk baits, swim baits, get them to show themselves, slow down, throw a drop shot Ned. Pretty basic right. stuff.
Imagine. Exactly.
Oh, that's a bummer. But glad they got you hooked up right away. So what's going on in your neck of the woods right now? What are the fish doing? Are they still pre-spawn? Are they kind of on beds? Like, what are you seeing up
where you are? Yeah, they're pretty much locked on beds right now. So it's like my least favorite time of the year. I hate bed fishing. It's not like it's a hard thing to do. Everybody knows smallmouth are extremely stupid on beds. It's kind of why I hate it, because it's like you could throw a lug nut on your fishing line in there and you're going to catch it. So that's just my personal opinion. It doesn't bother me that people go and do it. I know it bothers some people, but like, if you want to go do it, that's fine. I just prefer to catch them in any other way. So
sure.
I try to just, what'd you say?
I was going to say, especially up where you are, where they don't get pressured, they're really dumb on beds, right? Like yeah, when you exactly. go to Mille Lacs and you get around the metro.
Yeah, you go try to catch the ones that have already been stabbed 6 times in a day. Yeah,
those get a little pickier.
They're a little smarter. And the times that I did or had fished them, you know, there's times where they do get really tricky. But for the most part, if you can get to them before they see you, they're going to bite. And so,
absolutely.
I guess the biggest reason why I do hate it doing it is just because when that's going on that lake, depending on how big it is, that's usually like the only thing going. And so you show up to a lake, water 60 degrees, 61 degrees, and you're like, great, you know, that's all they're going to be doing. So if you want to catch them, you got to catch them on beds. But I try to chase a pre-spawn bite until those lakes are, you know, starting to spawn. And then I try to go to the lakes that spawn first and try to get on a post-spawn bite to just avoid it, you know? So that's what I usually do this time of year, but it's pretty tough because a lot of lakes are following the same, you know, they're in the same phase right now.
So what are some of your favorite pre-spawn techniques, or like where do you start? And as you follow through, what's your kind of your progression of pre-spawn up where you are?
So, I mean, right away, right after ice out, I'm usually just scanning around. I mean, right now, a lot of the lakes I end up going to right away are lakes I know pretty good already, so I can just kind of pull up and start catching them. But if I'm looking around on a new lake, I'll be scanning around deep humps, wintering holes, places where I caught them right in the fall, right before ice up. Throwing tubes, swim baits. Swim bait's one of my favorite ways. I love catching them on swim bait. That's probably my favorite technique of all time. One of them, anyway. It's one of my best fish catchers, anyway.
And when you're saying, like, you're talking, like...
Yeah, like 3 to 4 inch swim baits, yeah.
Little Bootails, little K-Tex, little... But what are some of your favorite... What are you, like, a Mega Bass, like a K-Tex?
A little bit of everything, yeah. spark shads, the 2.8s, 3.3s, tactical minnow comes into play too, because that's, it's got a way different little tail kick versus a lot of those other ones too. So that, yeah, there it is. So those ones are big time too. Trying to think of what else.
What?
Looking at my tackle wall right now, see if anything jumps out at me. Oh, something I've been messing around with just this year is that 2.8 rhythm wave by Jackal. That one's that one's got a cool little action, different than all three of those other ones. So I'm kind of a, all my friends will say too, I'm just an absolute nerd for finesse swim baits. I don't know. I've got so many, I could last me 5 years, but I'm constantly buying new ones because I don't know. I just love it. So I'm always buying new ones.
So if you're that big a nerd, maybe we should dive a little deeper here and talk about, like, so what, like, let's start, maybe start with the jig head and then work backwards. But like, what are you looking for in a jig head? Or is there a single, like, is there like, are you locked in like on a certain jig head, or do you have a couple jig heads? Like, what do you like for those tiny paddle tails?
So let me see here. So one of my favorites is that Dirty Jigs, the Guppy head.
The Matt Steffen.
I really like that one. Yeah, the Matt Steffen one. I really like that for a lot of them. All Terrain makes a good one too. I just, that one, they got quarter and 3/8, I think, in that one. I wish they made, and I mean, hopefully they do here soon, but I wish they made like an 1/8 and a 3/16, because those are some of my favorite size weights, though. Outcast, that Goldeneye, Josh's Goldeneye, that's a really, really good head, too. I'm going to think of besides that. Those are my favorite jig heads, and I'm always using as small as hook as I can, because I feel like it gives the swim bait the best action. A lot of guys will use like a 4-0 hook and a 3.3 or something. Mm-hmm. And it just kills the action of the bait, doesn't roll. And honestly, if they're coming to eat your swim bait, it's not like they really miss it that much. They pretty much suck it all the way down, especially if it's under 4 inches. They just about always get it. So having a smaller hook is,
yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, is like, they're not going to short strike a 2.8.
Right. Well, that's just it. If you're throwing a 3.8 or a 3.3 and they are doing that, well, it just tells you, keep going smaller until you finally do start hooking up with them. And at least in the around 3-inch swim baits, give or take a 1/4 inch, that's where I'm using. I think in that Guppy head, I'm using like a 1-0. And then anything bigger than that, I might bump it up a little bit.
So this is not the tiniest, but this is the 3.5-inch, right? So mm-hmm. I think the key thing here, though, right, like, is that in a swim bait this small, you kind of got to avoid getting too far back, right? Whereas, like, because you want that tail kick, and when the hook gets stiff way back to here, then you lose kind of the roll of the body. What's it? Hayden's freeing up. So, right, like, you kind of want to, like, almost look at how much your swim bait flexes. And if you put too long a hook shank in, you make it stiff too far back, then you're starting to lose your kind of roll and kick, I guess, a little bit. So it really affects your – did your screen lock on you by any chance? Now we lost your sound. So got problems. See what you did, Bart? You caused Hayden to lock up. Hayden, can you hear me? Thumbs up if you can hear me. All right, I'm going to boot you again, and then you can try to come back in and see if that works. A little there. So we'll get it figured out here. Yeah, panel tails, Largo shad, heard good things about that. I haven't fished the Largo shad myself, Darius, but another vote for the Largo shad. Hopefully your travels are good, Bart. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, it's always Bart's fault. Interesting. We'll have to ask him about the strolling SJ. So we'll hopefully get Hayden back here in a little bit. While we're waiting for Hayden, I don't want to forget that tonight is one of the nights we are going to do a live unboxing of an MTB box here, and we're going to give it away tonight. So we're going to open this up a little later, maybe sooner if Hayden has trouble, but and then we're going to give this away tonight. So thanks to Mystery Tackle Box for supporting the stream. That allows us to bring this to you in 1080. So if you guys are enjoying the new high def look, if you don't and you don't like to see Hellebass in high def and it's like too scary, then sorry, MTB did that. But so yeah, they're supporting the show, allows us to increase our budget a little bit. And we thank them for that. And I guess they are running a promo now through, let's see, it's through June 19th that they're doing 20% off all subscriptions and gift boxes. So that is a special they're running for Father's Day. Obviously, it's a great time for a gift. And I do have a link and a code down in the description below if you guys want to use that. It's a great time of year if it's like Father's Day's ticking and you're like, dude, my dad fishes, I don't know what to get him. An MTV box, like a 3-month, might not be a bad little gift, so worth checking out. All right. See the top of Hayden's head. He's not, it's not going. I don't know. Well, maybe. That isn't really working. There he is. Maybe. Not so great.
Yeah, I'm coming back.
All right, we're gonna just put him on hold here just for a second. Carol, I think, said she caught her PB on a Largo Shad. Did I see that, Carol? Yeah, very cool. Not quite yet, Gravy. Glad you appreciated the high res, Jim. All right, I think Hayden's back. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you great.
There you go. Yes, man. Good point, Shadow. If the high-res Hellebass is too much, you can turn it down on your end. You know, if you'd like to see visors and beards in lower definition, that's definitely an option. Good to have you back, Shadow. It's been a while. I saw you telling everybody that there are no bass in the St. Lawrence earlier today on another stream. So, but cool, yeah. So we were talking heads, and we just talked about small swim baits and head and using a small enough hook size, which I think is a very important thing, not to overhook it, whether it's a 2.8 or a 4.2. You don't necessarily want to overhook it where you're
right.
I think I was trying to explain, like, you want to not get down into the, you know, look at where your swim bait bends in the water and make sure your hook's not getting, you know, past right. that where you're going to lose that roll and flex and kick.
Yeah. I always try to like get it before that, like taper towards the tail starts, or mm-hmm. at least try to get there not too far into that. Seems like that's kind of the happy spot on most swim baits.
Right. Very cool. Chris, I think you come to a great place to start. Check out these streams, hang out. I would say Debo's channel. Debo's Fishing is another great channel on YouTube. It does a lot of bank fishing, a lot of intro stuff. So I think, you know, get hanging out with this community, and I think you'll enjoy it, Chris. So glad you're getting into fishing. That's awesome.
Fine.
I was gonna say, so then let's head up. So are you straight fluoro, braid to leader, like what's your setup? And then kind of work back into your rod and reel and how you like to do that.
Yeah, so we'll start kind of on the bait caster version of things. So if I'm throwing one on a bait caster, it usually is gonna be like a 3/8 or maybe up to a 1/2 ounce, but I can still fish a 3/8 pretty deep. Especially if we're talking pre-spawn, if I'm fishing it deep, I'm fishing it super slow anyways. So, mm-hmm. 3/8 is usually plenty. And then, so
on a 3/8, will you throw like as small as a 2.8 on a 3/8 ounce head?
I actually threw a 2.5. It was like just a custom pour swim bait. I wasn't like a big fan of the swim bait. It just was happened to be 2.5 inches and it was really small and it kicked. So I put it on a 3/8 ounce head with a 1/0 hook and it fit really good, and I was able to fish that really deep. And I think because it was so small has also helped me keep it super deep. If it was any bigger, it probably would have had a little more drag in the water and been a little bit tougher to keep down. But and yeah, I'm usually, if I'm fishing a 3/8 or I'm fishing it on a bait caster, I'm always doing it on straight 12-pound fluoro. And then as far as spinning rods, pretty much braid the leader. I like 8-pound braid, and then to a 7-pound leader, usually 7 or maybe 10 if it's not as deep and I'm around like a lot of rocks or something like that, but usually it's always 7. I like Sniper, FC Sniper, for all my fluorocarbon. And I like a soft rod for both of them. I actually, as far as, I'm kind of jumping back and forth, but as far as the bait caster goes, I like the 7.2 medium light X-Bride. It's a bait casting rod. And actually, Josh Douglas recommended that one to me. And I picked that up and I immediately bought a second one because I can use it for so many other things. But anyways, slow ratio reel too. That helps a lot for keeping it. Cause you really don't want to be reeling it too fast, especially in the spring. So I was like a 6.3:1, keep it nice and slow. And then, yeah, back to the spinning rod. It's a Voselka custom rod that I usually use for that. Dane made me one. It's actually part of his hair jig blank, but I had him cut it down like 7 inches to make it a 7.3. And that rod is awesome for swim baits. Loads up super, super deep into the blank. And I, like I said before, I really like a rod that
breaking up a little bit right when he was getting to the juice.
Good. For anything to do with swim baits, I like something with pretty soft.
Sure.
Some guys like more backbone, but where'd you hear me last? There's Mike. You hear me?
You are a little choppy and breaking up. I tried to like limit some of the other stuff that was going on to see if it was me bogging you down, but we'll give it a little bit more, but we might have to send you inside to the Wi-Fi if it doesn't get better.
Yeah, I can. Yep. Yeah, that's no problem. We can do that.
But we just won't be able to grab any baits. Yeah, you're okay right now.
Okay. Just let me know.
Yeah, a little bit of robot Hayden. But what's up, Jig Squad? Yeah, that's a good point. I remember when 6.3 was considered a fast reel. You probably don't remember that, Hayden. So when you're fishing them deep,
I don't know. You can't. I got into it. No.
When you're fishing deep, are you more crawling, or are you pendulum it, or are you like trying to keep it off the bottom, or are you like literally like dragging it, or like trying to get it to?
I mean, it all depends on the day, right? But usually, just as long as it's within the last couple feet of bottom. I mean, it's tough to always know that. Luckily or fortunately, I've got live scope, so if I'm not sure and I'm just trying to keep it just off bottom, I can usually tell where I'm at. But you just let it hit bottom to start, and then you just start slow reeling, you're usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's mentioned,
yeah. Go ahead.
On your spinning rod setup, how long a leader, and what is your leader knot of choice?
So I like a really long leader. Usually, well, I say really long, I mean anywhere from 15 to 20 feet. Which is long to some guys. Some guys, it's not that long. But
and what leader knot?
And
I think we're going to have to go for the Wi-Fi option, if you can hear me, Hayden.
Yeah.
So. I can hear you, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to boot you back out, and then maybe you can find a better connection and then hop back on. All right. Technology is awesome when it works, and when it doesn't, it looks like that. Yeah, we can maybe touch on that when he gets back. You don't hear much about 5-to-1 reels much anymore. It's a good thing we have Punch here to assess the technical IT things. I saw a question earlier, Chris, your chat, looking for smallies below the dam, Red Rock from the bank, got a decent area, foot or two visibility. I mean, these little, I mean, don't let, smallies can still track down a little swim bait, even in dirty water, but I would definitely start out with maybe some square bills, smaller chatterbaits like the Minimax could be really good. Chris, like kind of white and chartreuse type thing with a little paddle tail like this would be really good. Topwaters, right? Like a, you know, river situations, little poppers, bone poppers, when the water warms up a little more, once you kind of are sure they're done with the spawn, which down where you are, popper should be starting to go pretty good. I love a popper for topwater smallies in the river. That's a great way to catch them. But yeah, square bills, swim jigs, things like that should be really good, Chris. Hopefully that helps you. And then I guess if you got to slow down, if you can get a Ned or a tube down there without snagging up too bad, those are really good options as well. humble brag, Adam. Yeah, whenever they start to get to the juice, that's when the internet. What's up, Stephanie? Good to see you. I have not played around with the big mushroom, like the Magnum Neds that, like, I think what you're talking about is kind of what, like, Mikey Ball shows. I haven't played around with those. Stained water in upper 60s. You know, I would look at, they might start barring a topwater soon. I wouldn't sleep on topwaters in the upper 60s. Stained water, I like bone colors, or I would go with maybe covering water with a brighter jerkbait. Even maybe a louder one, like the re-range, like that chartreuse white they have, it could be really good to see if you can get to find them. And then once you locate them, then you can always slow down and throw like a darker green pumpkin, black blue tube, or a darker Ned or something like that. But one thing about smallies, if you're new to a lake or you're just not familiar with it, I'm a big fan of using search baits to get a bite or two, or at least get a follow. A lot of times smallies are notorious for following baits. And if you can get them to follow or roll on a topwater or show themselves on a jerkbait, then once you've kind of, smallies don't typically hang out by themselves too much. So if you get one or two bites, you can usually slow down and then, you know, get onto them. You didn't miss much, just a little bit of internet difficulty, Jay. So what's up, Hayden?
Hey, all right. Hopefully this is better.
So far, so good.
Good.
Let's see. I got a few other star. So do PB&J jigs really work?
No.
No?
I'm kidding.
It's not my favorite color where we live. Do you use them a lot up there?
I use them for largemouth quite a bit. I don't know. I've always kind of liked PB&J because for some reason, and you're probably going to scold me, but black and blue just has never been my favorite. So like when I go to like a little bit more off-colored lake, I kind of just through a PB&J. I like the purple. For some reason, I've always been attracted to purple with baits versus blue.
I think it's more likely Johnson will scold you more than me.
Say it again?
I think Johnson's more likely to scold you than me. You might want to turn your volume down just a little bit. There's a little bit of an echo. Yeah. As long as you can still hear me.
Yeah, Johnson's kind of my go-to teacher when it comes to anything jigs. He's a good guy to ask.
AJ says he thinks PB&J is a scam. But so I think we touched on this earlier, Gravy. He doesn't make a living guiding. It's supplemental.
Right. It's more of a excuse to fish more, honestly. I like teaching people. I think the little bit that I do know, I like to try to share and help people get on fish when they go fishing, you know, just teach them more, you know. So that's why I got into guiding anyway.
So strolling little paddle tails. Do you ever do that?
So the hover strolling, I've looked into it a little bit. I've tried doing it a little. I haven't caught any fish doing it yet. I know it's a big technique that came over from Japan.
Yeah. So what's he asking technique with those smaller paddle tails? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would. I know the way they do it in Japan is usually with like a super small like fluke, and they have like this super goofy looking like 90 degree hook that goes into them. Well, they can do it with a jig head or just a plain hook and then like a nail weight. It's, I mean, it's a whole thing, but yeah, I've tried it a little bit, but haven't had any success with it.
What about, do you ever tow hair?
I don't tow it as much. I usually cast it a lot, but I love fishing a hair jig. That's one of my favorites too. I got a lot of favorites. I don't have like one that I hate. So yeah. Yep. Black and blue. I mean, it works. Works great, but usually it's somebody else in the boat throwing it, not me.
Awesome. There's people agreeing with you. They're not big fans.
That's
of black and blue.
Don't
There's
tell
definitely no, he's a little bit of feedback all of a sudden on your end, though. Do you have headphones?
I can. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe. Is it like echoing bad?
Yeah, I just keep hearing when I talk. There's a. So either try turning your volume down.
No,
to a lower point.
I think I was cupping my hand around my, like the way I was holding my phone. Is that any better or no?
Let me see. That does sound a little better. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think I was cupping my hand around where the.
All right. That's
now
better.
I got my finger covering the phone.
Awesome. Now I feel like we're good now.
Good. Hopefully that's the end of our technical difficulties.
Yeah, so you brought up the hair. Well, I guess I did, but I know like hair jigs were a big thing when we talked with Gussie a while back, and it's always a popular thing. And the elites are going to be going to St. Lawrence in 3-4-5 weeks, and I'm sure hair is going to play big there. So, like, what do you like? Are you, is there a hair jig you like? Do you tie your own? And then what's your setup?
I tie my own. I just feel like the ones you can buy, unless you're buying them from another custom. Tire, I just feel like the ones that are mass produced are garbage, to be completely honest. They're super inconsistent, you know, they're not tied right either, in my opinion. Like, they're just chunks of like the marabou feathers just cut and like tied onto a hook shank, and they're not that good. So if you either learn how to do it, I really like doing it. It's something that keeps me busy all winter long, so I tie them all the time. But if you are going to try to get into it, either learn how to do it or find a guy who ties them and will sell them.
Nice. Do you pour your own heads, or is there a head that you like to tie on that people can
No,
get?
No, I use the same one Gussie does. So he uses that one from Lake of the Woods Sports. I think it's the Bass Tactics.
Is it the same Smeltonator head? Does he tie on, or is that a different?
No, it's Bass Tactics. It's the same brand that, makes that Smeltonator jig, I believe. But no, it's like an actual hair jig head that is designed for hair. I think Omni actually carries them or is about to carry them pretty soon.
They carry their hair jig, but not the empty. No, they not do. Maybe empty. Is it the B jig?
Yeah, the B jig.
Well, let's take a look at that.
Yeah. Got a little wire keeper built into it too for your little chunk of Senko that you want to thread on there.
So this guy. So there's their hair jig.
Mm-hmm.
Is their hair jig decent for one that you can
Honestly,
buy?
Honestly, I don't know. I didn't even know they sold one pre-tied. So
Well, let's take a look at it. Let's not the highest res picture, but from what I can tell,
it looks pretty decent. Yeah, those. I mean, for a mass-produced one, or I'm not gonna say I guess they're mass-produced, but for an actual company selling them, those probably
retail.
Yeah, those are probably pretty good.
But this is the one you like to tie on here.
Yep. I mean, it's nothing like special, but it's got a good Gamakatsu hook in there and a little wire keeper and then a couple of different hook size options. But I always go small, same like what we were talking about with the swim baits earlier.
So 16th, 330 seconds, what I mean, where do you start?
Usually 330 seconds is like what you need. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, like 80% of the time, that's going to get you by. Every once in a while, you go to a lake that's real shallow, real rocky, and say you are bumping into the rocks and you're getting snagged every time, well, then probably go to a 16th, but 330 seconds is always... So
259, is that a two-pack? I mean, buck and a quarter, buck 30, that ain't bad for...
No, that ain't bad at all.
And then there's a code down here for you guys that can save you a little bit on these jigs, which is always nice. Yep. So there you go. And then Omni has already imported them from Canada, so that's going to save you on shipping.
Right. Yeah. The times, because I always bought them straight from them in Canada, and it just takes like forever to get here. So like I'll get into the mood to start tying hair jigs in like December, and all of a sudden it's like I don't get them till January. So it's nice that Omnia has them now.
So there you go. If you are willing to learn to tie your own hair, you can get one tie jig for $6, or you can get basically five untied jigs for the same,
mm-hmm.
or four or five, right? And tie them yourself.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would encourage people to just learn how to tie it, because I think it's just, I don't know, something that gets me by all winter long, something to do. I get really creative with it. So, I mean, there's, besides just tying up one color and stuff like that, I'm adding all kinds of different things to them.
Do you add a little strand? Color. Like what's your little strand? I mean, like a lot of people like a little strand of purple or little, what's?
Yeah, purple's always good.
So do you like mainly tie black, or do you like do a lot of different?
Mainly black. I mean, that's what everybody will tell you too. It's right. Like that's all you need. If you're going to have one color is black. I wish I could, you know, tell you, oh, there's this special color, but black is always going to be your best color, but olive is good. Different natural colors, browns, grays, whatever you have confidence in, honestly, it's all going to work. Like I really have a hard time believing that you put, olive colored one, like if you put an olive colored one in front of a fish or a black one, like I just don't think they're gonna like pick one or the other or not eat one or the other. Just whatever you have confidence in, really, and that goes for anything.
I think the black one they can maybe pick out at a greater distance.
Yeah, right?
It silhouettes a little better.
Right, there's definitely something to that.
So where do you? It's marabou hair. Where are you getting your marabou from?
I just get it from a local fly shop in Superior.
Is there such thing as a premium marabou or a special marabou? Or
I mean, there probably is, but that's why I like buying it in person. I don't order it because it's like you can actually kind of go sift through the packages. You can tell what's going to be the good fluffy hair versus the stuff that's, you know, really soaked in paint and clumped together and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So it's basically marabou and a couple strands of tinsel here and there, but you don't ever mix anything else in?
No, that's it. If I'm doing that, it's just because I'm getting bored of tying them just straight marabou. I can't say it really makes a huge difference, but sometimes it gives me a little boost of confidence having something extra in there. Get a girlfriend with black hair. I got a dog. I got a Bernedoodle dog. So me and my fiance do. And there's a lot of black curly hair on that. And I've wondered about tying up some jigs with some of that hair. Nice. Haven't done it yet, but I got to do it when she's not around so she doesn't see me cut the hair off.
Very nice. Do you ever mess around with any other hair or tying hair for like cold water or fall jigs? And not like the hair fly jig, but do you mess around with more like bucktail or hair on your football jigs or that kind of stuff?
Sometimes. That's a good option. I do a little bit of that, little football heads and stuff like that. But I mean, I can't say I've caught a ton of fish doing it, because there's generally, if they're biting that, they're going to probably just bite a tube too, you know, but they definitely eat that too.
Somebody's asking me if I'll bring a rod tomorrow that they can play with. So, yeah, what's your rod setup for the fluff? I assume you're throwing a Volseca custom hair jig rod, right?
All right, Dane, so get ready for some orders, because it is the best rod you can get for hair. I mean, it is an 8-foot rod. It's got just the right amount of backbone, lots of tip. You can cast it a mile. You just have to check it out, because you talk to any of the other smallie hammers in the state of Minnesota, they're all using that rod. So, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself. You go on Bass Heads and you ask anybody, oh, I'm looking to get into hair jig, you know, fishing. Everybody is commenting, oh, you got to get Dane's rod. Got to get Dane's rod. Got to get Dane's rod. You know, everybody says it, and it's not just me. But yeah, it's an 8-foot rod, super long, helps with casting distance. And then, I've actually just used like a 2,500 reel on it, because you don't, with that rod, you don't need like a big spool to get like that extra casting distance. But I'm actually, I just bought a Vanford today that I'm going to be a 4,000 that I'm going to be putting on there. A little bit bigger spool, help it out just a little touch more, but not like it needs it.
Somebody literally just rang my doorbell and my dogs are losing their mind again. So, but I think the main way to get it, if so, plenty of people have talked about this rod, and I think the only way to really get it is to go to Bazelka Fishing Customs on Facebook and send them a message, yep. Right? Like, I think that's,
yeah, just, I would just shoot them a message on right on Facebook.
Yeah. So,
yeah, he, makes a great hair. I mean, he makes tons of other really good rods, but as far as hair jig, I think that's what's kind of been his biggest seller by a long shot.
Sure. Yeah, it's 8 foot long, but it's nothing like a surf rod. It's a very
parabolic. I don't even know what a surf rod is like, but if it's anything like what I'm thinking about, yeah, no, it's not at all.
We did not get a boat yet. But it might happen at the end of this week. So the wait might be over. Yeah. So we kind of touched on the chunk of Senko, but like, what is that for? And how much are you actually putting on? Like, does it ever stick out of the hair? Is it just tucked in? Like,
no,
how much?
Never. I never have it stick out past the hair. Maybe. Sorry. I'm trying to get
a, there's a bear behind here. You know, did you know there was,
yeah,
a bear,
that's a, I'm in my parents' basement right now, and my dad's got a bunch of mounts down here. As far as, yeah, the chunk of Senko on there, I'm never letting it stick out past the hair. I pretty much fill up the shank of the hook before it bends. So,
okay.
I mean, it probably comes to be about 3/8 or a half of an inch, I suppose. Maybe a little bit more.
We're like talking a quarter of a ned at most.
Right. Yeah. You don't want much. It just helps. I mean, the biggest thing is that little bit helps so much with casting distance. Just having a little bit of plastic, so it's not just jig and hook and a little bit of hair. And then it does kind of help bulk it up a little bit in the water. Mm-hmm. So it gives a little bit more of a profile. Otherwise, it kind of looks just like a drown rat in the water, which I never fish it like that, but I suppose there's probably certain scenarios where maybe that would work better, but I always put a chunk of Senko on there.
Yeah, you get maybe a touch of salt or.
Right. Yeah. Like the Yamamoto one, something that's got a lot of salt or something just really dense. Something that's going to help the cast a lot farther.
You get maybe a little, gives them a little when they bite it, right? Maybe they get just a little more texture before they just get hook and head, right? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Cause there's times where, I mean, honestly, most of the time when they do bite it, it's not like you feel a slam like you do when you're fishing a swim bait or any other bait. Like they kind of just, I mean, most of the time they just have it and you're just like you'll set the hook. Like if you're fishing it real slow on rocks, you're going to set the hook on rocks all the time because you're like, I don't know if that's a fish or not. Cause that's what the bite feels like. It'll just be like, all of a sudden you have a chunk of weed on there. Like you just reeled it through a chunk of cabbage and that's what's on your bait. And then that's all the bite feels like.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about how you fish it. Like what is there a depth range you like the most? And are you just casting it out and are you letting it hit the bottom? Or are you counting it down a certain distance or what's?
Yeah, pretty much 10 foot and under for me. I mean, there's certain scenarios where I'll fish it a little bit deeper and that's when I would bump up to like an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
But for 3/30 seconds and just most overall hair jig fishing, I'm in under 10. And I'm kind of just casting it out, letting it get where I think is about halfway through the water column in whatever mm-hmm. depth I'm in, trying to kind of keep it above them, keep it up a little bit. So, because they're always kind of, especially on a sunny day, they're always going to be kind of looking up. So I try to keep it above them, or at least above where I think they're at, so they kind of see it and they'll start to track it a little bit. And all of a sudden you think you got weeds on, but it's a fish.
Yeah. So you're not typically trying to make bottom contact, rarely ever.
Not usually. I mean, if you're in like less than two or three, I mean, you're probably going to bump into some bottom here and there. It's kind of hard to, especially when you're trying to reel it slow, it's hard to actually not let it hit bottom in that. But
typically letting a hair bot or a hair jig touch the bottom is a good way to lose a hair jig.
That or just get scum on it. Or I just don't think they like it like bouncing through the rocks like they might like a swim bait. They just kind of like, you want it to be super subtle. And you'll watch like some guys' YouTube videos where like, oh, how to fish a hair jig. And I mean, it works sometimes too, but they'll like go, oh, and you want to shake your rod here and there. And like, you don't want to do that. You just want to reel it straight. Like it's, to a lot of people, it's probably super.
So it's like a 2.8 and then just even more finessey than a 2.8, like just right. Slow and steady. And
yeah, slow and steady and not doing a whole lot to it.
And then the hook set's just kind of like just reel and pull, mm-hmm. right? Like you're not really like setting the hook. Are you just using the same seven pound fluoro leader, long leader, same setup? Or
I actually use 5 pound braid just for a little extra added casting distance, and then go to a 7 pound leader.
5 pound braid. That's small.
That's a little scary to some guys, but
I might be too old to even tie 5 pound anymore. My eyes might be going.
Well, when you're tying with an FG, you just got to hold the line in your mouth and you're using only the fluorocarbon to tie it.
Yeah. Well, actually, so I think you were breaking up earlier and we were trying to like, so it, you are an FG, you're team FG. Yes.
Yep. Right. Yep. Yeah. We were breaking up and I was trying to say that. That's the only leader knot that I will tie. Especially because like I was saying right before that, I like to be able to have a long leader. So I'm usually reeling that knot right into my spool. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know it's there. At least most of the time you can't even tell the knot's in there. So you reel it right in and it's, you cast it out. It's no problem.
That's always the age old question. Like, what do you think? Is the hair jig a bug? Is it a minnow? Is it a leech? Is it just, they're just curious? Like what right. do you have any?
I honestly, I don't know. I mean, smallies are so curious, and the more you understand how curious they are, I feel like it really helps you experiment with other baits that catch them good. So yeah, I kind of think it's a lot of a curiosity thing, and they just kind of get, I don't know, they just like to follow stuff. And so when they see something that looks like that and they're just following it, it's almost like they just, it's too easy of a meal to pass it up, and they just eat
and
it.
I think it's like a bad, it's so unthreatening that they're not scared. Right. Just, and like, I don't know, like you may have heard this before, but fish don't have fingers. They don't have hands. They can't touch it with their fins. So the only way they can check something out is putting it in their mouth. Right.
Yep.
And I think similar to a Ned rig, right? Like, I think that's why Ned rigs get so many bites, right? Is because it's so mm-hmm. unassuming. It doesn't look like it can hurt them. Whereas right. like a big craw or a bigger swim bait, they may follow it, but they're like, that might hurt or that might not be right. But sometimes right. things that are just so simple shaped and so minimalist, right, that I think the smallies mm-hmm. will just put it in their mouth just to see.
Yeah, because everybody says, oh, it looks like a leech, but and I mean, it does look like a leech, but like, how often do you actually see a leech just like swimming around? Like, I don't know that I ever have. Maybe somebody else has, but
I think it's more likely like maybe it's a bug hatch.
Yeah, like a,
I mean, a little dark minnow just kind of like cruising, like whatever. I don't
right.
know.
Right. Or like we touched on a little bit ago, like with the black, like it's basically just creating a silhouette to them. So it might not even matter what color it is. If they're looking from below, they'll just see some object kind of slowly lurking through the water that yeah. just come up behind it and eat it.
I think when you were breaking up a little bit, I think you were saying like 15 to 20 foot leaders are pretty common for you.
Yeah. Yep. 15 to 20. I just do like, usually what I do is I just kind of stretch out the spool and make my wingspan like
one,
do it twice. Yep. Two. Just do it twice. But I like really stretch out, and I can't remember what my wingspan is, but I want to say it's around like 7 feet. That might be way off. I don't even remember. So I do that.
10 to 20, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So good question. So I think a 7-foot rod, you can get, I mean, if you're just kind of want to get in and dabble and kind of learn, you can get by with a 7. I wouldn't go much shorter than that. But if you get into it and you really start to enjoy it and it's something that you fish consistently, then you're probably going to want to start looking at a 7.4, 7.6, maybe even an 8-foot rod.
Yeah, anything north of like 7.6, and as long as it's a soft rod with a good tip, is going to do fine. Yeah, I think I'm assuming he's asking because he probably already has a 7-foot rod that maybe he could try to use, which if it's soft, I think it'll work. You're just not going to get as good a casting distance. Another thing I like about using an 8-foot rod is you pick up so much line on just a soft hook set. So you just kind of sweep and then you got them. It's a super parabolic rod bend. And when you hook up on them, especially with that rod of Danes, you don't lose them. Like, I could probably count on one hand how many fish I've actually lost when fighting them on that rod, because it just absorbs every single head shake.
I don't remember, is the medium light the 702 or the 701, Keith? I actually have a 701 Sierra because that was my way of like cheaping out. Like, because the one thing is, like, it's not easy to find a budget friendly hair rod because they're so niche. The companies don't bother making $100 to $120, right? It's so niche, right? So it's tough.
I don't know if Adam is still on or not, but he's a Dobbins guy too, and he uses I don't know Dobbins rods that well, but I know he's got a rod that works pretty good, and it's a longer one. So if he's
I'm guessing he's probably using a 741 or a 761 that they don't make anymore, but I could be wrong. But that's an extreme, and that's a $370 rod or something like that. So,
I don't know, but
there is a 701 Sierra that, it does okay in a pinch. The 702, you could do it. It's just, you may not be able to cast it as well as you want. It's going to be fine for as far as like, if a fish eats it, it's got a soft enough action that you're going to catch fish on it. I think what you'll struggle with is getting the distance that you may want. But what you can do, which other people do, is they tow hair, right? They'll like cast it out and they'll kind of stroll it. Like they'll kind of drag it like on the trolling motor on like 2 or something like that. And that is a way, and you can let line out and do that. So I would dabble with it because if you're like me, I only break out the hair jig a couple times a year. Now Hayden probably throws a hair jig 100 outings a year, right? And I'd probably throw it like less than 5. So for me, the justification is not to go out there and spend. I'm pretty sure the Dane custom rod is not a $120 rod. So, so I would try it, Keith, and play around with it. If you get bites and it finds like something you like, then you can think about investing later, and then you can keep using that 702 as a Ned rig rod. So,
I know, like Shimano, they have a Zodius that's a pretty good hair jig rod. It's the new blank anyway. There's like it's a 7.6 light. That's a super, super small one. Oh, is that Bailey? How's it going, man? But yeah, that they make a pretty good hair jig rod. I'm trying to think of any other.
Evidently, St. Croix makes one in the Victory. I think the Victory is like
$150
or like less than $200. Right. It's probably similar price point to the Sierra, I think.
Yeah, I want to say they're right around $200. But yeah, my buddy Cody was telling me about Cody Hunter. He helped, I think, design that one. And him and a handful of other guys, but yeah, it's like a 7'10", and that's a good one.
I don't think we talked about, I'm guessing the best way to
no, I know him, he's
yeah, I know he around. Brought it up though. Yeah, nobody's gonna let Cal in their boat, but if you did, right, the way to do it would be to go to Hayden Anderson Fishing on either, I would imagine, Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, my number's right on there, and so
so
text me, call me, email,
Facebook message here, something like that. That would be the best way.
Right. I would prefer text. That's where I'm going to see it the soonest.
Sure.
And so as soon as I can respond,
that's if you're like up north in Wisconsin, you're like, it looks nice on Thursday, and like, can I get a trip? text him. If you're planning a month out, then you can.
It's probably always going to be weekends too, because sure, I still work a full time job. But yeah, exactly.
If it's last minute, like
right.
I mean, it stays late. We can do evening trips in the summer. It stays in Superior. That's probably stays late till what, about 1 a.m.? This is probably
a good time to touch on that. Yeah, that's something I want to start doing here pretty soon. It's just hard with work sometimes because I don't always know right when I'm going to be done. Yeah. It's usually around like 4 o'clock, but there's times where all of a sudden I'm there till 8 o'clock. So it's hard to schedule them long in advance and like promise, oh yeah, I'm going to be able to do it right after work. But right. I was thinking about kind of trying to get into that a little bit and just kind of leaving it like, hey, you know, it'll probably work, but I might not be able to. And then we just might have to reschedule. So if there's people that are interested in that too, and they happen to be in my area, I know a lot of your listeners probably aren't from Northern Wisconsin, but
we're all over. But I bet you some of them like the vacation up there. So
yeah, if they happen to be in the area and it works out, I do want to start doing some evening trips.
Yeah, that's a good question, Stephanie. A lot of this talk about braid to floral leaders and why, and me personally, I only use them for spinning rods. I don't know about you, Hayden. Do you dabble with braid to floral on bait casting at all? Or
yep, ever since I started tying the FG, I do. I had bad luck using it with like the Alberto or other, you know, uni to uni knots. I always would break it, but since I started using the FG, I use it on casting stuff sometimes.
So I would say, let's start with spinning, because I think that there's not a lot of like discussion on. I mean, there's some people that still like straight mono or straight floral, but like most serious anglers are really moved to braid to floral. And to me, there are several advantages. One is a big thing is like, for me, braid knots almost don't exist, not braid knots, wind knots don't really exist with braid. You don't, that line twist problem where you fish with floral or mono for a couple trips and you throw something and it like twists up and it like comes off your spool and coils, like braid pretty much eliminates that, in my opinion, a good braid. Castability, you can usually cast a lot farther with braid. Hook setting, you typically get a much better hook set with that braid on the softer spinning rods. I was going to say something else. Feel sensitivity, right? That braid to floral leader is a lot more sensitive. So like on bottom contact or even like throwing small swim baits or hair, like that little tick, like on a tight line, braid is super sensitive. On slack line, braid has almost no sensitivity. But on a tight line, which a lot of the finesse, right? Like shaky heads, you know, it's typically a tight line technique. So you're going to get more sensitivity. Cost, right? I've literally have braid that I've had on my spinning reels for 2 to 3 seasons if I don't like retie it a lot. So then you're just replacing a mono, even if you use mono, like you can retie mono leaders or fluorocarbon, whatever you like. And you have one spool of braid will last you multiple seasons, and you're just retying, you know, 6, 8, 10.
It too. That's a trick.
Yep. I mean, if your braid fades, you don't like it, you can switch reels and then flop it around. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All that new stuff is right at the beginning.
Yep. I do that once in a while. I don't know. That kind of, I'm trying to remember if there's any other. I did a whole video on that, like the reasons why. Is there anything else that?
Yeah, I mean, just, I don't know if you, I kind of didn't hear it at the beginning, but like castability, just distance wise, get so much farther without mono kinks and stuff banging through your guides as it goes out.
And then the other thing is flexibility, right? So if I put 10 pound fluorocarbon in my reel, I'm locked into 10 pound fluorocarbon leader, unless I want to strip $20 of line off or $5 if it's mono or whatever. Right. Whereas like, if I get in a situation, if I've got like good 10, 12 pound braid, which is good for just about everything, right? I can go down to 6 with my leader, or if I'm in thick, if I decide, hey, I only got a couple rods, I want to go fish shallow around docks or reeds, I can go up to 12 pound just by switching the leader, right? So like it gives you more versatility and saves you money at the same time.
Yep.
Hopefully that answers your question, Stephanie.
Way more reasons to use it in tie leader than not.
Yeah, the only downside is learning the leader knots. And that's right. You know, you sit down on YouTube, you find one, and it's, to me, there are several good knots, especially with spinning rods where you're not like slacklining them. There's a lot of good knots. And it's not really about what the best braid knot is. It's the one that you can execute on at a high level consistently.
Yep.
So a lot of people talk about the FG. It's a wonderful knot, but it's also an intimidating knot. Right. So, I mean, like, if the Alberto's more comfortable, gonna, like, the Sturgeon's knot, they all work well if you tie them correctly. So whatever you can tie correctly is more important.
You hit the nail on the head there. That's the biggest thing, is making sure you're tying it right. You don't want to, you know, a mediocre FG knot is not even close to as good as, I mean, this is obvious, but as good as like a Alberto or whatever. I mean, that's, I don't know what you use most of the time, but that's what I would say is the second best in my experience. Modified Albright, Alberto, people call them the same.
People shouldn't do what I do. I tie a Yucatan knot, and it's just simple and easy, and I get by with it on spinning rods, but like, it's a disaster with braid on bait casting. Like, I will snap it. But like,
we'd probably butt heads in the boat when it comes to opinions on that type of stuff.
It works for me, but I don't recommend it to others. How's that?
Yeah. That Alberto though was easy. I mean, that's you can tie that one in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that the Alberto or Crazy Alberto or that, those are good ones to start out with. There's some good, like, mm-hmm. Justin Lucas has a good video on that. A few other people do. Yep. Were you throwing mono or fluorocarbon 3 to 4 foot leader? Because if it was mono, it shouldn't have been a problem.
200, I mean.
But that's why I also, like, I typically don't go more than about 10 to 15 inches on my topwater leaders.
So you want my tip online with topwater?
Sure.
Straight 15 pound mono. That's what I do.
The whole way?
The whole way.
We're taking them off the stream.
That is the deal.
I will fight you. Disagree.
See, when I'm doing that for large, for smallmouth, I don't do that for largemouth. I just don't lose fish anymore. I used to pull them off, and I know you could adjust your rod more. So maybe I was using the wrong rod with the braid, mm-hmm. but the rod I like using for it works really well with straight mono. And I think you land so many more fish, and you're not pulling out hooks. They're jumping, and along with the right rod, your line is absorbing the head shakes, and my land percentage has gone up so much since using that. So we can debate on it, but I think that's the way I go.
Yeah.
For small.
And it is. And I'll go right back to what we said before, or kind of what I've said. It's all about the setup and the mechanics. So
yep.
The rod I have, like, I don't lose fish. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to lose a couple fish on top waters every now and
then. Well, right. That's just
like,
it.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't straighten hooks. I don't, like, I've got it set up. Right. So like I throw a 30, 40 pound braid to, you know, a short leader, and like the rod I have, you know, a softer 3-power Fury or Sierra 703, 733, when they eat the hook, I just pull into them and start reeling, and like they're buttoned up. It's like, I don't know. They tend to have all kinds of hooks in their faces, and like, and I just know not to rush them right when I get to the boat.
Right.
And it's usually game over. So, but that's the thing. Yeah. That works for me. It works for my rod, my mechanics, my setup.
That's
the big thing.
Go back to what works for you.
The big thing I don't like about mono is on a long cast, right? If you bomb a cast out there on a spook, right, or a vixen or whatever your choice is, you got to hit them pretty hard to sink the hooks in on a long
cast. That is the downside, but as long as you get a feel for it. So long cast, smallies, they eat it a lot right when it hits the water, you know, within the first couple twitches a lot of times.
Yep.
So I just use a high speed reel and just start reeling basically. And then once you feel them, you just kind of lean into them. You just don't have that immediate feedback like you do with braid, where you're actually able to kind of.
So my biggest downside for me, right,
yep.
is that on a long cast, if I think they have it, and I end up moving the bait so much further, like on a mm-hmm. hook, like I'll set the hook and like I'll mm-hmm. pull it away. Whereas like on braid, I just kind of like reel. If they don't have it, it like moves a foot and it comes up, and they're like, right, where I feel like I really need to like pick up more line and move that bait a lot harder on a mono or a co-poly, that I feel like I end up like pulling it away from them. And that's why
I see where you're coming from there for sure.
So like as far as like fish that miss the bait, and I kind of like want to like I feel like, you know, I don't know. So that's just me. And then I like high speed reels for top waters, but
I use like an 8-to-1.
Let's see if we missed anything else. Oh, we got enough of our little. Do you use yellow braid? Do you like high vis braid or do you like dark braids?
Yeah, I'm on most of my spinning combos. I'm using either red or yellow. Just regular Power Pro. I had a really bad experience this spring with some other braid. I don't need to name it, I guess. I don't want to talk bad about other company, but
you find what works and you go with it. That's
I had a really, really bad experience with, and it was like brand new stuff. And a couple of guys were like, oh, you probably just got a bad spool, but it was two different colors. Like it wasn't even the same spool. I was having problems with both of them. So
true.
Just went back to the tried and true Power Pro.
Yeah, I honestly, some of that braid's been on my rod so long, I don't even know what it is anymore.
probably faded, so you don't even know exactly what color it is. It's just like, this was a high-vis color.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a long enough leader, does it matter?
Right, yeah, really, don't. I mean, that's the pro of using the high-vis, is that you can see it, and then you have your leader, so the fish don't see it.
The only time I like a dark green braid or a moss green braid is like for my dock rod, because there are times that I will skip the leader, right?
Sure.
Whereas like it's too gnarly, because I'll go up to like 15, 16, 17 pound leader if the fish are big enough and it's the cover is nasty enough. But sometimes I'll be like, nope, we're just going straight 30 pound braid. We're not messing with it.
Yeah.
And then that's nice to not have a neon green tied to your right. Yeah. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. At least it looks somewhat natural.
I think smallies do like, I think there are times in the year in certain bodies of water where they really key in on small bait, but in general, I am not shy about throwing full size topwaters for smallies.
I mean, I know way too many guys who have caught giants on like musky baits. So like the thing is with smallies, if they're in the right mood, like they're going to try at least. They're always going to come up and, you know, smash it or try to, you know. I tend to use like the mid-size, you know. I like three hooks because I just, on all my walking baits, I always like three hooks because it's just better hookups, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I tend to stay towards like the, I'm trying to think of.
What's your walking bait of choice? What, like feeling like pick? So, let me guess. You're a shower blow guy.
Yes. I love a shower blow. And half the reason is because the hooks are like literally the best hooks you can buy that come with them. Like they're so good. So it's kind of like an added incentive to buying the bait because like you don't have to swap the hooks until they get dull.
Yeah. And I think that there are certain times, like I've been on the river, like late June, and you're seeing like all these tiny little pin minnows and shads. Mm-hmm. And like, there are times that like, okay, you need to like lay up and like, you have to go with not even this popper, but go to the small popper, or you got to like throw a little 2.8 high tech or like.
Yeah, one of the tiny
little. There are times, but you should notice, like if you're seeing a ton of fish come up and look at it or follow it, or you see them breaking, but they won't touch your topwater, and you're seeing up. Typically, if they're that keyed in on small bait, you're going to see that small bait. And that's an instance where I will not, you know, go away from the big topwaters, AJ. But when in doubt, I like to go big because smallies are feisty critters.
Kind of triggers them, yeah. Having a bigger one, I think, sometimes.
Calls them from a long ways, too.
Yeah. All right, keep moving around. I don't have a fancy setup like you, so I just am using my phone. I'm trying to get comfortable with it, and I just keep moving around.
Do you know they make phone holders, like things, tripods and things like that? And like,
yeah, but
you like that thing? You probably got one on your dash in your car that like holds your phone. Like,
I don't. I like look at them all the time, but I never buy one. I don't know.
Topwater trout baits. Do you use braid to leader as well for them? I guess we kind of talked about this. I do.
Right.
Aiden does not.
Right. I just had bad experience, but it could have come down to just the rod I was using. And I went to night. I don't use that rod for topwater anymore. I was talking about that 7.2 medium light X-Bride earlier that I use for swim baits. I use that same rod. That's why I bought multiples, because I can use it for tons of stuff. I use that for topwater too.
Cane Walker. It's all right. It's a decent bait.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a shower blow, but it's definitely not the same.
I did have a good experience where George, my co-angler, was throwing his Cane Walker down the river, and the Vixen absolutely
crashed him. That was the Vixen, okay.
But it catches them too. Obviously, it worked on Fork.
Right.
John wants to know who got you into fishing.
So, my dad's always been a big time outdoors guy. So, obviously, you see, I got all kinds of animals around me right now here. So he got me into fishing, just the outdoors in general. But I really, really got into fishing just the older I got, I guess. Always, I don't know what it was. I feel like there's just more gadgets involved with the fishing, as far as lures and different, reels. And I don't know, that always kind of intrigued me. So I got a lot further along into fishing.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he introduced it to you, and then you just took it to an excessive level.
Right. Yep. So yeah, he's kind of he's the guy who loves hunting, and I'm the guy who goes fishing more. So compliment each other. Nice.
He fishes between hunting seasons and
right. I kind of just fish through hunting seasons.
Yeah. I've got the same way. I used to when I was younger, I used to deer hunt more, do that kind of stuff. But once I got out of college and got a job, when I had to make a decision with what I was going to do with my vacation time, hunting went completely out the door.
Yeah. I still would love to be able to hunt more, but some of the best fishing of the year is Wisconsin and rifle.
The boat ramps are empty, man.
Yeah. Can't beat it.
I would say most of my walking baits are going to have a rear feather almost all the time.
Yeah, usually most of them come with them. And then if I end up having to replace them, I try to always put back a feather.
We should probably maybe talk some jerk baits.
Sure.
That's kind of, it would be unfair to talk about smallies, not talk about jerk baits. And then we do have to remember to save some time to see what's in this bad boy and give this away tonight. So we can't get too carried away. We probably, after we talk jerk baits, we're probably gonna have to open that up. So tell what's your yay or nay jerk baits? Love them, hate them. They're the best ever.
So I got a lot of favorite techniques. That's one of them. I love catching fish on a jerk bait. Great. So
do a bunch of them, swim baits? Are you locked in on certain ones?
You can probably guess which one I use the most of.
Vision 110 plus one?
That's one of them. It's just the Vision 110. I mean, anything Mega Bass, honestly. Anything in that 110 lineup. The only one I guess I really haven't gotten real into is the plus two. But, yeah, a lot of the just original plus ones and regular diving ones. I saw that pop up with the X-Wrap. That's a really good one too. I don't use it as much since I've gotten into the Mega Bass ones, but the X-Wraps, they catch the fire out of them too.
Yeah, I've done pretty well on, I mean, I am not a huge jerkbait guy. We'll throw them when I have to. I have a fair amount of 110s. They definitely work. I would say the one that I have become most fond of lately is the Rearange.
Yeah. Yep. That I have actually, I don't know if I've ever made a cast with one, but my buddy Damien really, really likes those. I think it's kind of funny because I think those are all he throws and I only throw the Mega Bass. So we're fishing jerk baits together. We're really covering a lot of, exactly. If you're not familiar with them, they sound like your rod tip snaps every time you cast them. or your line snaps, or you hit the cowling of the boat, or, you know, it sounds awful until you get used to it.
So do you leave your hooks on the Mega Bass, or do you switch them out?
I do. I leave them. They, especially in the cold water, nothing. It's really hard to find a treble that keeps them suspending as good as just the regular Mega Bass ones. And you always, like, I'm on a couple of Mega Bass pages and, like, on Facebook, and people are always complaining about the hooks bending out. Well, yeah, I mean, they're a really light wire hook, but they're super sharp. So as long as you're using the right setup, using a soft rod, I use 10-pound fluoro on a bait caster. Just, I mean, it's just like anything else. The treble is you just lean into them and then play them out from there. So you really shouldn't be bending the trebles unless, like, they have it really good and you're trying to, like, pull it out with the pliers. That's the only time I think I ever bend them.
I would say the same thing. I would say if you're straightening hooks on a jerkbait and you're using 10 or 12-pound fluoro or mono, then I think you're probably got too stiff of a rod.
Too stiff a rod, or you're just reefing on them. But, like, in the summertime, because I'll fish one throughout the summer, too, and just fish it a lot faster. And then I like going to a beefier hook because they're obviously a lot more charged up in July and August than they are in April and May. So they get a lot more aggressive. They're jumping a lot more. They're digging harder. So a little bit beefed up hook definitely helps. They're even hitting it a lot harder too.
And then,
you know?
then your Mega Bass becomes a slight slow sink instead of a true suspending.
But I'm usually not even letting it pause long enough to sink.
But it helps keep you down, right? Like a slow sink, even when you're working it fast, keeps it a little deeper, which is.
Yep.
So when you're, if you do have to replace them, do you source Mega Bass replacements, or what's your choice?
I've never actually, like, I plan to. So I've got a big jerkbait box, and I just have a ton of them right now that just don't have hooks because I just start robbing them from other baits and putting them on the ones I use the most when the ones get dull on my favorite baits. So I do need to order some of the actual Mega Bass replacement hooks because the Gamakatsu, the G Finesse trebles work pretty good. They're a really sharp hook. I really like the hook, but there's something about them. Like even if you still swap them on the bait, at least in cold water, it doesn't seem like they suspend as good as the regular Mega Bass hooks.
So for smallies, since that's the theme of the night, what are your go-to colors for?
So we could really go down a rabbit hole here, but I just I got to plug my phone in here. An old phone, so it dies fast. I just really like colors that, let's flip it over here, are translucent on sunny days. Something that they're not going to see super good, you know, matching the color of it to kind of what is in the lake as far as forage. But then just going a little bit more solid on cloudy days. I just think if you're on a lake where they're like dumb, it's not really going to matter, but a lot of it is kind of sticking to sort of translucent on clear water and sunny days, and then a little bit more solid colors cloudy days.
Nice.
I should touch on too, sometimes just the off the wall bright colors work really good.
Just,
but it all depends.
Clown, bright chartreuse.
Yeah, just like when you go watch any Linder show where they're talking about jerkbaits, they're talking about those X wraps. I mean, they're gonna talk about the clown and pink. Like the pink and the fire orange colors, and they're gonna say that's all you need, which most of the time that's probably right.
I was wrong.
I get really into it, and so I've got tons and tons of different colors that I'm always messing with to.
I thought you would have went 741, Bart. I was wrong. I actually have a 742.
Oh, is he talking about that here, Jig Rod?
Yeah.
So that's a decent option there. If you're
not a budget friendly option, but it's a good option.
No.
we are an hour and 23 in. We should probably bust open this box. You can let a few more questions. So we are gonna bust open this Mystery Tackle Box Pro Box tonight. And we're going to give it away when we're done taking a look at it. And maybe we have enough bandwidth to use the extra camera here. Let's see if we get the... Hopefully this doesn't screw anything up. Make sure it didn't screw up my audio again. All right, there we go. So we're going to give this away. We're going to thank Mystery Tackle Box for supporting the stream. They are bringing you our streams in high definition now. So we're going to grab our Arsenal Battle Braid scissors to pop the tape on this. And then we'll get back. We'll try to make this go quicker than normal this time when we get back to Smalley Talk. So I think we have our, let me see if we can, our extra camera angle here to get.
There you go.
A little bit lower. But we'll get this thing opened up and we can kind of show some of these boxes here. So peek inside, fresh, see what's all. Man, I'm seeing a Lucky Craft. Did you see that?
Serious? Really?
A Lucky Craft and MTP box. So the first thing we got here is a, was that a 1.5 floating Kabuki Gill? That's a good looking square bill.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with the first bait out of the box there.
No kidding.
A 1.5 Takahiro signature made, and it's Japan series. It's not even the USA series.
Man, JDM in there even?
That's pretty sweet. Not gonna lie.
No kidding.
This popper right here, Ray, is the Yellow Magic. The Deritsu Yellow Magic. We don't talk about the Yellow Magic. All right. All right, next in the box, we got a Kalen's Cast Stocker Jig 3/8 ounce in Caden's favorite color, black and blue.
That's all you ever need.
Hey, I mean, you can't complain with a black and blue jig, 3/8 ounce. That's going to catch them anywhere. Doesn't Rick. Really matter. All right, we got a Headbanger. This is interesting. This is a, it's kind of a, it's not a quite. It's more like, it's not like a pivot head. It's kind of like a pivot head, but it's more like, what is that bladed jig that Rapla came out with Terminator? The
What was it?
It was with the plastic blade. It was like super aggressive, wide wobble. That's what the shape of this head is. It's like, it's only 2/7 of an ounce. So it's like less than a, what's a little more than a quarter.
That's got to be Canadian if they're talking 2/7 of an ounce.
It's a rocker head. Made in China. It's Headbanger rocker head. It's got a 4/0 hook. Who is... Should we, what is that thing called? The shutter bait. Shutter? Isn't it shutter? But the head of it...
I kept wanting to say scatter wrap, but that's obviously not that.
It's like... It looks like it's lead or metal... And it's shaped like the shutter blade. So it's almost like a weedless inline chatterbait bladed jig style that you could rig like.
Yeah, you know what? I think I've actually seen like Jay Siemens advertise those a little bit. Okay. Like I think it was him. Yeah, they got like a really unique, like literally a headbanging action as it swims through the water.
All right, then you get 2 4/0 Trocar EWG hooks. Not too bad. Some people have strong
opinions about Trocar, but
they're a decent hook. I will complain that I wish you get more than two in a pack when they put them in these boxes.
Almost not even worth putting it like
in or a like pack. Give me multiples. Like give me 2 4/0, 2 3/0, something.
Right,
like
a little selection.
Yeah. Here's something. Look, this probably goes with the Headbanger. The Banger Lizard.
Probably.
It's all blacked out, so you can't see what's in, but I'm assuming this is intended to go on here. Let's see if we can open this up without destroying it to show you what this looks like. It looks a bit like a, almost like a Bifflehead Lizard Rage Bug combo.
Yeah, that's an interesting look.
I'm sure Smalley's would not eat that.
No, not at all.
Definitely not that color. It's like a watermelon melon red flake.
It almost like at least the way it looks to me, it almost looks like a touch of motor oil, even.
Yeah.
Or am I not seeing it right?
It could be. It's not quite as
translucent. Oh, yeah. When you hold it like that, not so much.
Yeah, it's a little darker, but it does have a little bit of.
Yeah, like in that view, It looks like
that color off. I would say that camera's a little bit off in color, but it does. It may be a tinge.
Okay.
But like a fighting frog lizard, says AJ. Yeah, sure. Like that. I kind of like the minimal. What? How many are in here? This is a four pack. But that's a good looking bait.
Yeah.
Sample pack. The hooks or the lizards? I'm not sure. All right, what else we got in here? We got, we're talking topwaters. We've got a Team Arc topwater slider. On there? What's that?
Is that Japanese writing I see on there? Or am I see? Oh, okay, I just couldn't tell.
It's a TS-115, so you got 115 millimeter, which is a pretty standard size. That's like the same as a shower blow. It looks... It's hard to see that, but it looks, the body shape of it would say is most resemblant of a Sammy.
Sure.
It has a little bit of cup mouth, but not like quite gunfish cupped.
Yeah. But
decent looking color.
Cool looking bait. Yeah.
Yeah.
What brand is that?
It's Arc, Team Arc. So I don't know if that's like the same as Arc Fishing.
Oh, you know what? I think
Arc Fishing. Right. Yeah. It's info at Arc Rods. So same company that makes Arc Rods.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something different then. Interesting.
And then we've got a Euro Tackle Finesse Metacrop.
Oh, yeah.
A six pack. So that looks like a full pack, not a sample pack. And they look like little Rage Bug Ned.
I was going to say like a little different look on your Ned head.
Yeah. I would use this, if I was going to use this, I would probably use this more as like a finesse jig trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like my Neds to have a more glide, right? Like a more darting glide.
Yeah.
I don't want it to really like kick and like pendulum down, I guess.
Right, because your point of using it is you're trying to go finesse. So
yeah,
you don't really want it to be doing a whole lot.
And then you get your, your literature and your, right, you get your Dibble magazine here for what it's worth. And then kind of get your list of what's all in there. So they're giving you a $13. So they're saying the square bill's $13, the topwater's $8, those metacross are $6, the jig is $5, the headbanger's $4, plastics $3, $2 for the hook. So get yourself a sticker. You're
getting your money's worth. That's what it's telling you.
Now there's some detail in this, which we couldn't see in that. Cool. So you get the kind of the deal on there. Let's see what it says. So it says the headbanger cup shaped zinc head.
Oh man.
Smart wire eyelet easily replace the hook. So you can change the hook on that headbanger, it looks like. So there's a, wherever that guy is, there's a way to detach that hook and replace it if you need to, which is nice, right? Because you want eventually that hook's gonna get caught on something and
right. And you can change the size for different baits and everything. That's what I like so much about that all terrain one.
So they suggest straight retrieve yo-yo or drag it across the bottom. I don't know. So what's the general? I mean, I think that's a pretty good box. Like I would not, like if somebody gave me as a gift and I got that in the mail, I would not be pissed.
Right. Yeah. Like that's not a, there's nothing in there that I'm like, it's junk. Get rid of it. Like,
yeah, there is no, a mystery tackle box definitely fit with Ketchco. There's definitely an affiliation with like Elena. Last box, we did have a Guggen bait in there, whether you love them or like them, but there was literally no house brands that I'm aware of and all pretty interesting stuff. And actually this is probably pretty standard, like nothing special about this, but this is like meat and potatoes. And the rest of the stuff is actually also, I mean, this is the Trocar, I guess, right? That's nothing new.
Yeah, but like, you're not going to see any of those.
The rest of the stuff is actually stuff that's kind of new, like stuff like that I would be interested in trying.
Tackle being in there, like that's they're kind of getting into tons of bass baits recently. Like I think they started out as like a ice fishing brand.
Okay.
And so that's kind of interesting. They're starting to get into some more baits that are like open water and for bass and things like that.
Made in Russia.
Yeah, I've always thought that was kind of interesting about them too.
I do like the square bill. Like, I'm kind of half tempted to like steal this and not send this out, but
be a good little finesse
large. And these actually like, I like menace grubs and like rage bugs and stuff. And these like remind me of those. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Like, I actually like this box. The first box we did a month ago was good. I would say this is even better. So let's get this box in somebody's hand, and then we'll do some. I think I saw a question about flukes. Why don't you talk about flukes while I get the drawing ready here?
Sure. Yeah. It's getting to be about that time of year right now when I like to really start throwing one. I kind of wait till they're at least getting off beds before I start throwing them. When they start getting real active, start chasing things and looking up a lot more, getting close to the surface. So I kind of like either the Zoom flukes or Strike King Caffeine Shad. I like the Caffeine Shad a little bit more just because it's heavier and cast it a little bit better. It's a little bit softer too, or it's actually quite a bit softer, so it has a little bit better action. The Zoom one really darts a lot because it's a little bit stiffer. And so that one parts back and forth. Shouldn't have brought that up, Bart. It's my secret.
Is it a secret?
It's not really a secret, but it's like, I don't know. So I take, some people are going to be like, oh, I knew that. But like, you just take a little spring lock. I like to nose hook them. So you put a little spring lock in the nose of the fluke, and then you never cast them off. Because otherwise you're only getting a little bit of plastic and you're casting it off constantly. So like, it's almost impossible.
You'll bury the screw lock and then catch a little bit of spring and a little bit of plastic with your nose.
I actually buy like a bulk pack that you would use to like pour jigs with, like to put like a spring lock or a screw lock on a jig. And then I just take a pliers, bend the loop. I only use those because I can buy them in like 100-pack. I'll turn the loop to make it a full closed eye basically. Yeah, and then sink that into the tip of the fluke and then just put your hook right through the, I just use a, just like a, I think it's the Gamakatsu finesse wide gap hook is what I like to use. It's kind of like the traditional wacky rig hook. A little bit of nice gap on there.
And somebody asked what, like, besides white, what do you like for fluke colors?
White, pink, chartreuse sometimes. It all depends on kind of water clarity and the mood of the fish, really. Yeah, the spring, like, it's not like it helps you catch more fish, so I guess I don't know why I was acting like it was so much of a secret, but it's just, I guess it kind of
You don't want people to save money. You want people to burn through caffeine shans and you don't want to share.
Exactly. People get so frustrated throwing them that they stop throwing them and I'm the only one throwing them.
I was kind of half paying attention. So go ahead, hashtag Tuesday if you guys want to enter to win a chance at the box. But what spring do you use?
It was a while ago that I bought this 100 pack, so I haven't really seen recently, but I think you can find them on Tackle Warehouse if you just like search, or maybe you can find them at Omnia. I don't know if they have just like screw locks, just plain screw locks. But yeah, just little, it'd be like the small size.
Hold on. Let's see here. Let's see if there's any chats in here. The chat's broken now. Everybody's typing Tuesday. Let's see if there's any other starred comments. Oh, so what about the underspin heads? You get into underspins? Like, I feel like
utilized. Things that I'm trying to get into it a little bit. I haven't fished one a whole lot, and I haven't had when I have used them, I haven't had a lot of luck. But I know they'll catch fish. Just need to do it more.
Have I ever tried bottom bouncing an Angler's Choice 3-inch goby? I have not. You? I'm not even sure what it is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
Pink fluke?
Pink works. It's probably my favorite.
What about like whistle jigs or Okashiro screw heads or things like that? Do you dabble with those or you just stick to the straight?
Like, Yeah, I would go straight to the Mega Bass one, though. I wouldn't really mess with the Northland one because it's not really, I mean, I don't know.
You're not going to use a walleye head jig is what you're saying?
Right, yeah. I mean, you can't, yeah. So, yeah, I mess with those. Definitely catch fish. Just kind of one of those things I mix in right around, you know, late. I don't like using them real early in the spring, a little bit later, you know, when the water gets into the 50s and then all throughout the summer. Because it's pretty much a shallow water deal, you know, usually less than 5 feet.
For the screw heads?
Yeah, that, you know, you can fish them deeper, but like they only make them up to an eighth ounce. So you, and then plus with the blade, you can't really get them that deep. Mm-hmm. So.
Do you ever play with big swim baits for smallies?
Sometimes. Like not big. Like I wouldn't go much more than 6 inches, you know, but
when you say 6 inches, are you talking like, what are they called? Like a mega bass? Or are you talking about like a bass tricks? Like what kind of?
Yeah, I've actually caught a lot of fish on a mag draft before. That is a super, super fun bite, but it's very situational. They'll pound it, but not get the hook sometimes. And then that just tells you, okay, I just got to go to a regular finesse swim bait, something 3-4 inches. And then you start catching them really good. But like, if they want it, you'll know they want it because you're catching them on it. If that makes sense. Yeah. Like if they're eating it, they're eating it, but otherwise they're just smoking it and they're not going to get the hook.
Or bumping it or following it or just right. Like, yeah, I wish, yep, I would have been able to make that. Like I in practice, I was out on Little Bay Big Bait and Knock for a regional tournament like 10 years ago. I was throwing like an optimum line through, and like in practice, I was catching some big ones, and I was like, and then the tournament, they wouldn't eat it, and I just didn't know what to do at the time. And I was like,
right.
So if you could only catch smallies one way for the rest of your life, what would it be? What's the one bait?
One way. So is it like my favorite way to catch them all the time? Sure. Or
favorite way?
Favorite way, it's probably going to be a jerk bait. I do really, really like throwing a jerk bait. But if I had to only pick one way that I thought was going to work all the time and like I could use it spring, summer, fall, that would be a swim bait. So, but I really like catching them on that too. So I got a lot of favorites.
Walking versus popper. I would say for me, a popper is more of like a spot bait.
Yep.
And a walking bait is more of a search bait where I cover more water.
Yeah. I usually fish a walking bait 90% of the time throughout the summer. And I think a lot of it is just because you can fish it as slow as you want, or you can fish it as fast as you want. So it's kind of doing a little bit of both. But then obviously the popper has a way different action. So if I'm fishing like a spot and I'm, or just a small area, I'll fish right through with a spook and then also just have a popper ready too and kind of mix it in, see what they want better.
AJ says you can buy bulk screw locks from Shorty's Hooks if you have a tax ID number. Let's see here. Just looking through a bunch of questions here. I can't say I've ever been on a consistent frog bite with smallies, but on the river I've definitely caught some big smallies. And actually,
I've caught, yeah, a couple.
And Vermilion, I've caught some good smallies on frogs too.
Yeah, believe that. Yeah, I've never, like, maybe a few. I've not really ever got into it.
Yeah, and the river, see, and the thing is, like, the river smallies, to me, they got, like, those big old, like, they get those long, right, like, up where Hayden lives, they're, like, those big, deep bodies with small mouths, and, like, but on the river, they're those big, long, big-headed, like, old ones, and, like, they have no problem eating a frog, so.
Well, plus, they act more like largemouth sometimes, too, down on the river. They know they live in the same spot sometimes, and I feel like they just have a completely different mentality than a lot of the fish up by me.
Yeah, and they're shad eaters. And yeah.
Right. Yeah, like they're not eating it because they think, oh, there's a frog. They're just like, oh, there's something on the surface, and they just go eat it.
Best tactics post-spawn middle July summer. Like, what's your go-to?
Best tactics, really tough to beat a hair jig, a fluke, and a topwater. Probably be my three picks. Spinner bait, too, if there's a little bit of wind.
It would be silly of us to talk about smallies and not talk about drop shots. What's your go-to drop shot bait?
Well, and it's funny because that's, like, I don't, like I was saying before, I don't have, like, a bait that I hate throwing, but, like, and I don't hate throwing a drop shot. I like it, but I just don't throw it as much as, like, people probably would think, like, a smallie guy throws a drop shot. Like, I mix it in because you have to, but anyway, I guess my favorite bait, I mean, Dream Shots work really good. I've really tried catching fish on the Maxent, the flatworm, and like I have caught them, but it's definitely not my favorite bait. I just think it smells a lot. I don't think it like looks that good in the water.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd say about Maxent, it attracts a lot of other fish. Like you catch a lot of bluegills,
a lot of rock bass,
and like you catch a lot of like I was skipping a Maxent in general on prior a couple weekends ago, and I caught like 10 bluegills on like a like big Nico hook because they would choke that Maxent so hard I was catching the bluegills in the mouth.
That's pretty impressive.
I think the thing I don't mind drop shots. I just don't like the pain they are to rig up and then the pain they are to manage on your rods and reels. Like
see, and I will say with having live scope, it's probably my favorite bait to drop on fish when I see them. So that's kind of, I usually am never fishing the bait. It's usually like a rod I have just sitting there ready, like dangling over the side of the boat that I can just quick drop on a fish. Cause it presents a bait perfectly to them when they're right on bottom, right up below you too. You know, you can drop it straight down super fast. Boom. It's right there in their face. Catch them. Then you got to untangle the mess and get it ready to go again.
I want one more person to enter this so we can get to 50.
Come on, guys.
Come on. It's a good box. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, we were just talking it up. I mean, we didn't even have to talk it up. It spoke for itself. It's a good box.
And I would mention that I'll start at 51 now. So we'll give it away. But I would mention that they are running 20% off on Mystery Tackle Box through Father's Day, I believe. So I guess nephew, father, brother into fishing, if I got three boxes like this 3 months in a row, I wouldn't be pissed as a gift at all. So I think that's a realistic, like really good option as a gift for sure. Even if you don't want like a long-term, I think that's cool. Right. Sea rigs?
A little bit. Yeah, it's a good, you know, summertime bait. You know, if you got fish that are deep, just another presentation besides a tube or football jig or Ned. Yeah, I mean,
deadly on the river.
Yeah, if I know they're deep, it's just something I'm gonna have rigged up.
Presents or if you're in the river, you don't have to fish deep.
That's true. Catch them on a sea rig in a foot of water there.
All right, we're gonna draw this box and then we'll get back to a little more smallie action. So, and JP Harrell, you didn't claim your box from last week, and also we have a spare box that on my next member live, we'll give away the twin to this and a future member stream. So you see that? Bart almost won. Bart, you were so close. And then that would have saved me shipping because I could have dropped it off at your house tomorrow, Bart, when I picked up your boat. So
hey, it's pretty much Bart, though. It's Crappie Kev.
Yeah, same thing. So Crappie Kev, congratulations. Shoot me a note in my DMs, Instagram, or Facebook, or shoot an email at rich@richlinger.com, and we'll get this shipped out to you. Congratulations. And I think you're going to catch some solid fish. I don't know if you're going to catch any crappies, but I think you'll get some bass on these boxes. So
he's going to catch a fish on every bait in that box.
Three baits for shallow smallmouth. I don't think that's much different than the other question. I think you're still going to say hair jig, topwater, and
well, so yeah, for summertime, those would be my shallow options. For like spring, I would say swim bait. You got to have a swim bait in there. Even a jerk bait too. I mean, for spring, it depends on how shallow was shallow. Shallow is different to everybody, but I mean, if it's deeper than, I guess if it's between 4 to 6 foot and you're calling that shallow, jerk bait's a really good option too. But
yeah, but assuming like if we're talking now through future, right? I would say hair,
yep,
Ned and Fluke, probably.
Mm-hmm. Those are like going to cover, actually, right?
Like, if it's really post spawn and you're still seeing them shallow, another one I really like is a menace grub. Like, instead of throwing a little swim bait,
sure, like,
crawl that menace grub, bounce it around, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I used to use that a ton when I was a little bit younger, but I haven't used it a whole lot recently. Maybe I need to pick it up again.
Do they have smallmouth in Lake Lanier?
Honestly, don't know. I think it's
Will, just is that even there. A real thing? I wasn't aware that they were there. But
yeah, I don't know. And I wouldn't have any advice for down south smallmouth anyways.
Tubes? I don't know. What I mean, I assume you throw tubes quite a bit.
Tons and tons, yeah. And I mean, you'd be like, oh, what's your favorite one? I mean, I use them all. I use every company makes a little bit different, and they're all different colors. And
have you seen these?
I've got about 100 packs of those.
Yeah, I just saw those at Omni the other day, and I was like, this color just jumped out at me. As like,
yeah, is that like, is that the kind of the yellowish?
It's like a there? Sungill almost. Yeah, like it's, yep. I don't know what they call it. If they call it, actually, it is called sungill. So,
yep. No, that's a good one.
So
that's a really good brand.
Like, you drop shot them, you jig head them, you Texas rig them, do you stupid tube at all?
A little bit. Yeah, I've actually started getting into that a lot this spring. I know you've been, I remember watching videos of yours that you've been doing it a while. But I don't know, you got any advice for me on a stupid tube? Because I've been throwing it this spring and catching a lot of fish using it.
Yeah, just keep throwing it and don't talk about it.
Yeah, no, we won't have to talk about it anymore though.
Right, running behind. You got any Z-mans you like? Is that like? I guess we didn't talk about Neds. Like what?
We didn't really get into the Neds. Yeah, I got about 100 bags of the Z-man, different variations of Ned baits too. My big thing on Ned baits is it's got to float. So by using Z-man, you're doing that. I mean, it's very very buoyant plastic, if you even want to call it plastic. And they obviously last forever.
I don't remember that, Thomas. That's good. What about Cumberland Pro Rockhound Hair Jig? I'm not familiar with that one. I don't know if that's like a shuttlecock type, like chicken jig. I'm not even sure what it is.
I think I know what he's talking about, but I'm not sure. Is it the one that's got like little wire keepers, like a two, like just a little? Two little wire weed guard on it, and it's just hair, like a synthetic hair almost. That might be what he's talking about. I'm not sure. Chartreuse is always a good color for smallmouth.
Absolutely, SJ. Better dead than Ned.
Missing out.
So I would say Z-Man. I like Z-Man for things like Ned or as jig trailers where I can fish them as exposed hooks. Yep. I don't like it when I have to like Texas rig a Z-Man. Right.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point, David. If you came in late or you want to re-catch this, you can re-listen to this. Search Hella Bass in your favorite podcast app, or you can watch it on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you're watching it. So
you have to bear through our technical or my technical difficulties.
Yeah. And I'll put that in the intro. It gets better. Just fast forward.
Yeah.
What's up, Sean? Good to see you. Well, I switched nights on you. It's not your fault. So, yeah, I've seen Nico baits on like Travis Manson's Smallmouth Crush, but I've never bought any or played around with them.
Yep. And that's actually a good reminder. I've been meaning to get some of their stuff because they make some stuff that looks really cool.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier, Bart. We did say that the Omnia has the what's the brand again? It's Bass Tactics, right? That's a good option for ones you can buy or tie your own. We didn't talk finesse jigs. There's so many things. There's so little time.
See what you were asking me a little bit earlier. This is why there's so many different things. I mean, you catch largemouth on tons of different things, but so many fun things to catch smallmouth on.
Scrounger styles, helgramites.
I have not messed with the scrounger much, but it's one of those things that I'm always like, I need to mess with it, but
I bought some way back, like when Aaron Martin's, and like, I don't know if they're this way now, but like you'd buy them and then the lead would interact with the bills and they would just fall apart in your tackle box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But now I think the thing is now you buy them and they come separate and then you like assemble them when you go to use them versus like, but I haven't bought any in a long time.
Yeah,
they definitely, I've caught a few fish on them.
Got any good recommendations on some good scrounger heads? I definitely want to try it out if I had good luck with any. Those are the Picasso ones, right? That he would have been
probably. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What about? Yeah, I guess we didn't. Do you Demiki? Do you Mope? Any of that kind of stuff?
I don't. Yeah, not like those Canadian guys. I don't do it like that. It's kind of one of, I'll rig up like a Demiki and like it'll be like kind of like a, another live scope bait. You see a fish, something easy you can drop down and put it at any depth and,
sure,
and catch them. I actually caught my second biggest smallmouth ever just by seeing it on sonar and dropping one of those down and came up halfway through the water column and smoked it 25 feet of water.
That's a good question from Bart. If you could only have one, 360 or live scope for smallmouth?
I know it's like the new question. Like everybody asks you, and if you're gonna get one and to just to start out, I guess I would say 360. It's a really good option for just seeing the whole structure and knowing where to cast. But then once you have live scope and 360, then you're kind of like, oh well. I can still see a lot with the live scope. Once you know what you're looking for, as you turn your trolling motor around, you know what's rock, you know what's weeds, you know what's fish. You can, you know, it doesn't show you the whole picture of what to cast at, but if you, as long as you know what you're looking at, you can see the fish plus what to cast at. And it almost, I use it a ton just for like making my cast, like pointing it a certain direction off the boat and being like, okay, that's right where it is. And I just look at my trolling motor head, bomb it straight that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could only have one, I still think it would be 360, because
mm-hmm.
then you at least wouldn't have the distraction of live scope sometimes, but because it can hurt you just as much as it can help you.
And I would imagine that 360 combined with live scope probably shortens your learning curve on live scope.
It does. I know it. Part of that's like people act like it, you know, you're not even fishing, you're not using instincts anymore, and I mean you are, but people, it's every time you hear somebody complain about that stuff, it's always some grumpy old man who's getting, not making money in tournaments anymore. Randy Block.
yeah good luck fishing the Southeast, hope you crack them in South Carolina. Spy baits, much
yeah,
of spy baiting?
It's still, yeah, he kind of, it is definitely situational. I think you don't just use it anywhere. I think I still have a lot to learn with them, though, to be honest. So I'm probably not the right guy to ask. But I've definitely caught fish on them, caught some nice fish on
them. The duo one, or you got any other ones
yeah.
you'd like?
For? Yep, the duo one. I actually, when Camping World was having that big, like, going out of business, well, not even, I don't know what they ever have going on, but when they were, like, selling all their fishing stuff really cheap, I bought some of those Berkeley ones for, like, 75 cents a piece. But I haven't used them yet, so I don't know if they're any good. But
so there you know. So if you book Hayden for a guide trip and he starts handing those 75 cent Berkeley spy baits, tell him you want the good ones.
That's right. Wait a second, these aren't duos.
Be like, no, I saw that stream. Give me the good ones.
Gotta give me the good stuff. No, I want your hand tied hair jigs.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. It was a very I forgot, Derek, you may not be here. I did star this question earlier. You were looking for a combo for $100. I want to say that, like, isn't there like a lose combo, like the mock combos? Can't you get those for right around $100?
I don't know.
For a combo $100, I don't know. Like, there's, it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse.
I know, but it's tough to get them under. If you bumped it even up to just 150, which I know it's getting to be a little bit more, but like that helps a ton, because then you can find a rod and a reel for like 75 a piece, and it's pretty, you know, it just opens up your options a lot more, I think. Like, I'm a big Shimano guy. Like, that's the only reel brand I use. So, like, I know they've got a lot of good, like, $50 to $80
I will say reels. That there are some good $50 spinning reels out there, like the Daiwa Revros and some of those that are really good for $50. So then I guess sure. I don't know what – I'm not super familiar on what kind of rods you can get for $50.
Right.
But I think if you go, if you can't go wrong with any of those Daiwa or Shimano reels, that $50, and then
– yeah. Even the, like, little Sienna. I mean, that Sienna Shimano reel, that's a $30 reel, and that's – I mean, it's not phenomenal by any means, but, like, it works. Definitely would do the trick, and then you – spend a little bit more on the rod, which I think is a little bit more important anyways. Definitely sure. Spend, if you're going to spend a little more on one or the other, I would go towards the rod.
Stephanie, you asked earlier, it's mainly because this thing doesn't really fit regular hats. Someday I'll show you what a regular hat looks like on this, and it just, it doesn't look good. It doesn't, it like, it sits about like that.
I don't know if I've ever seen it with just a regular hat on.
No. It's not a good look. There's a few out there that fit, but they rarely do. So you gotta
custom visors with Rich.
There's videos on how to make them. We've made them live on the stream before.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some good Berkeley combos, and that I would say they probably make some solid stuff. Abu and stuff.
Or
like
is
that.
He might be talking about the spy beats.
He could be. That's what he is talking about. You're right.
That's good to know. Oh, so I'll start tying them up here.
What rod do you like for blade baits? You fish blade baits?
Go back to that same rod I was talking about earlier, that 7.2 medium light plus X-Bride. It's a casting rod.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why I bought a second one, because I can use it for blade baits. And
is that 12-pound fluoro as well?
12 or 14 usually. Yep.
Nice. And then are you big braid, tie your own braid treble type?
Yes. That's, if you're fishing blade baits, you kind of have to do that. I mean, you don't have to, you're just not going to land as many fish. And there's a really good video on how to tie those on the Omnia. I know Jacob Rose has a really good video on how to tie them. It might be on like the Bass Utopia, or it might be uh-huh. through Omnia, but regardless, he has a good video on how to tie them. So if you're looking to tie them, find that one.
Cool. All right, we're creeping up on 2 hours. I guess we'll maybe like last call for questions here. I don't know, maybe this year finally Hayden will invite me up in the fall for some smallmouth fishing.
Hey, it's a matter of how busy I get, but we'll make it happen. Make it happen. This
I'll wear a visor when it's when there's ice on the deck of the boat, and I'll still wear a visor. Be a good
thing. There you go. How about flip-flops?
Probably not flip-flops. You gotta keep your feet.
The feet are, yeah,
when the water's coming over the deck and it's 34 degrees, I'd rather the visor's probably a better play than flip-flops at that point. So
right. Yeah, you don't want your feet freezing down to the deck. We'll just let the trolling motor do that.
Absolutely. Oh, there is one more thing I want to talk about for those that are almost forgot about this. So there is a, speaking of smallmouth, we can't talk about Minnesota smallmouth without talking about Mille Lacs. And there's a tournament coming up on Mille Lacs by Head-to-Head Fishing, July 18th to the 22nd. And they're looking to fill it up. If they don't get entries by July 1st, they may have to like cancel it. But this is a unique format where you fish like through brackets, or you like there's a qualifying. I don't know all the details.
I've seen a little
bit
about those.
And I'm pretty sure they're like televised, live, broadcasted. So for you smallie guys that are listening to this show in Minnesota that can swing a 5-day tournament, 18th to the 22nd, I would really look, because I feel like these guys do like their Wisconsin tournaments, like they fill up. Like on the river and Winnebago and all those places, and they're trying to branch out to do something a little bigger here. So I think it would be who of us to support them. So if anybody's interested in a Mille Lacs tournament, I would check this out.
Yeah, that's interesting. Didn't Cade do one of those on the river?
Yeah,
like Cade, last summer.
Yeah, I don't know all.
I remember seeing a little bit about that and watching because they have pretty good live coverage of those too. I think.
Right.
So they're something else to watch.
Bass and walleye rules. So does it? I think these are a team now. So it's $8,000 to win. Day one and two, all 16 teams compete. Day three, it cuts to eight. And then it's a bracket, I think, to go down to four. And so that's why it's a multiple four-day tournament. So, yeah. It is hard for a working guy and a weekend guy, but I know there's plenty of people that watch this that aren't necessarily constrained to that that weekend thing. So there's a lot of guys that spend a lot of time on Mille Lacs and they complain there's never any big tournaments on Mille Lacs. Well, here you go, and now you can put your money where your mouth is, and you can fish for big money on Mille Lacs if you spend a lot of time out there. Yeah, I watched quite a few of them too. They do a good job with coverage. So I think it's like if you got sponsors or companies you want to represent and you want to fish a big tournament, these guys put on a pretty big show. And you can look them up on YouTube and Facebook and see what they've done. They run a first-class organization. So I just wanted to share this because I know they're looking to fill this. I haven't looked at my calendar to see if I can make it work, but I wanted to start spreading that. We'll probably talk about this the rest of the streams in June here. I'm no affiliation. There's no benefit to me, but I just thought, hey, if they're going to come branch out, and it's nice to get more to support these tournaments when we can. So
right, that's cool. I didn't know they were going to Mille Lacs. That's that'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting time of year too.
Yeah, and MLF is coming to Mille Lacs in September. But
that's right. Forget about that too.
Is it TBF State? I want to. What is 18th to the 22nd? Is that what it was? I think it starts just after that. I want to say the TBS date is like the 16th and 17th, but I could be wrong. So this hoodie is actually an Arsenal hoodie. They actually have this on arsenalfishing.com. So I can show you that. Hopefully Dan's not out of stock or we're going to look dumb.
Right.
But this is it's got a smallie on the front and on the back. If you can see this. Am I in frame?
A little bit. See the wolf.
Yeah. So it says chasing wolf packs on there. So let's see if we can find it. I wore this just because we were talking smallies.
Of course.
All right, Crappie Kev, I see that. I will watch for it. Yeah, so. Come on. Oh. Dan, come on. So this is what they look like, Rich. You can see them. That's what the back looks like when it's not been worn a bunch of times. But they are out of large, extra large. And oh, come on, Dan.
Man.
Dan.
I knew we were having this podcast tonight.
Eric.
This live stream.
Come on. So hopefully they get back in stock. You can watch those and you can use the code down in the description. X-Zone Swammers. I have not thrown them. Have you played around with them? You went quiet again. We can't hear you, Hayden. This happened last time. Like your phone tilted and then you went quiet and then. That is a great idea, Daniel. Long sleeve hood performance. All right, we're going to boot Hayden one more time, and then he can make his triumphant comeback, and then we can wrap this thing up. So I haven't tried the X-Zone Swammers. I know my buddy Cheetah likes them, but I haven't played around with them. So that's where you can get them when they come back in stock, Rich. So hopefully Hayden heard me, comes back in. Yeah, definitely H2H is big in the walleye world as well. Thank you. Yeah, we went a little over 2 hours. We kind of went short last week, so we went a little longer this week. So no stream tomorrow night. Next week, we're probably going to talk with Billy Coles, Smith Mountain Lake Guide Service, talk to a down south guide. So for you down south guys that feel jaded, and we're talking all this smallmouth stuff about up north, we're going to talk largemouth and smallmouth, but the southeastern United States. And this guy, yeah, I got one of these free t-shirts with my Zillion purchase. Get this medium. Yeah, I mean, drop shot's always good for smallies, Gi fan. It's a kind of a pain to rig and like keep manage on the deck of my boat and the rod locker, but it catches them. All right, Hayden's back. Just for the say something, Hayden. Can we hear you?
I don't know what happened. I can't hear nothing.
Oh, we can hear you. So here, no, he couldn't. He could hear us, then he couldn't hear him, and this has been an adventurous show. So. So hopefully we'll get this worked out.
You
can
hear me. All right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you. Thanks everybody for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for coming on, Hayden. It was an adventure, but we fought through. Thanks to everybody that participated tonight. Hopefully you guys picked up a couple tidbits that's going to help you suck less with fishing smallies. And we'll be back next week, next Wednesday night with another live. And as always, here to help you guys catch more big bass and suck less. As always, thanks to all of you that hung in till the end of this podcast. This has been another episode of Hellebass Bass Fishing Podcast Experience. Please consider sharing this with any of your bassin buddies and friends. This is the best way for podcasts to grow is through word of mouth. Also, don't forget to search Hellebass on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, or just about anywhere else so that we can connect in more ways. As always, here to help you catch more bass and suck less.